Blog Talk Radio.
So I'm gon' drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You a fake, so I'm gon' drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left.
Son of a bitch. What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. If that's a thing, I'm not quite sure that's a thing, but maybe we just made it a thing. Do we have the power to turn Mondays happy? I think we might. I got a jam-packed show for you today. We have some terrible moves from the Trump administration. We got Bernie Sanders opening a can of whoop-ass on Donald Trump on the Sunday shows. We have your Justice Democrats update, of course. A lot of stuff to talk about on that front. Got some new numbers for you, which are positive. The numbers for Justice Democrats have been positive from the very beginning. But we have to focus on one thing specifically, and I'll be explaining exactly why that is. What else I got for you? The Democrats who approved the CIA head, the pro-torture CIA head, now all of a sudden are wagging their finger at him, saying, "Oh, don't you dare do these terrible things, and you know we'll punish you by approving you if you do these things." Okay, and a lot of other stuff, including the pre-Super Bowl interview with Bill O'Reilly and the comment that blew up and that has everybody upset. I'm going to have a weird defense of Trump on that front. And I will try to get this little piece of granola bar out of my teeth as I talk to you live. That's what happens, man. Live is always fun. Okay, I think I succeeded in the granola bar front. So let's go ahead and get started, and we're going to do that with what President Trump did at the end of last week. Let's do it. At the end of last week, President Trump took some disastrous steps on the issue of the economy. NBC News explains here. Trump signed an executive order Friday scaling back the sweeping 2010 Dodd-Frank financial regulatory framework enacted under his predecessor as a direct response to the financial crisis. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer labeled the Dodd-Frank Act a disastrous policy. They're targeting a broad range of financial reforms, ranging from bank rules about speculating with customer funds and wind-down provisions for too-big-to-fail institutions to consumer protections from predatory debt collection practices and forced arbitration. Okay, so this is Donald Trump going back completely on that campaign promise that he made to drain the swamp and crack down on Wall Street and look out for the little guy and the average Joe and regular people. He's doing the exact opposite here. In fact, in a press conference he had about this, he said something like, "Look, we got to do it. We got to get rid of these regulations because my friends just can't borrow money. They can't borrow money." What? So your rich ass friends, banker friends, you know, people who work in other industries, they can't get a loan, presumably for some sort of rational reason, because maybe they suck at business like you do, Don, or something else. And so now you're like, well, let's just loosen it up to be able to give them loans. Let's do that. Right, because that never went bad before. Correct, it was a subprime mortgage crisis that we just had in 2008. So the banks would give out loans, and they would do it to make short-term profit at the expense of the long-term viability of the economy. And then, whoops, when people couldn't pay it back, everything crashed. So Donald's solution is, why don't they lend out to more people who probably can't pay it back? That would be tremendous, believe me. Believe me. Okay, this is really, really sad. So, again, they laid out some specifics here as to exactly what they're going to go after in Dodd-Frank. Now, understand, as I've explained about Dodd-Frank before, Dodd-Frank is a giant mixed bag piece of legislation because it is massively weak, and it didn't go far enough. So what we should have done is brought back Glass-Steagall, among a bunch of other things. We didn't bring back Glass-Steagall. We got Dodd-Frank, which is a bill that's riddled with loopholes that largely allowed Wall Street to go back to what they were doing before the crash either way. But ever since it's been implemented, there are some good things in there. I need everybody to understand that. But ever since it's been implemented, what's happened is the Republicans have been using this sly trick where they'll take like an agriculture bill, for example, and they'll slip in a provision to it that says, oh, and by the way, we're getting rid of this part of Dodd-Frank now. And then it'll go through. So it's been on a step-by-step basis. It's already had a hatchet taken to its face. Dodd-Frank has. And now Donald Trump is just, you know, putting the nail in the coffin here by saying, well, I'm going to target specifically the remaining, you know, provisions in the bill that are actually make sense and are still good. So they explained it, and I'll mention it for you guys one more time here. Bank rules about speculating. So under Dodd-Frank, there are rules about just how much you could speculate because rampant speculation is not a good thing. We have Oh, and in fact, that's with customer funds. So there's a part of Dodd-Frank that's a little Glass-Steagall-esque. Remember, Glass-Steagall says commercial banking and investment banking. There needs to be a wall of separation between commercial banking and investment banking. So when you go to the bank and you put your money in there, there's a certain level of security attached to that where you think, well, they're not going to do crazy casino capitalist bets where they're going to lose all my money. That used to be the case. But then when they repealed Glass-Steagall, now the bank can bet that money however they want, no matter how risky. So Glass-Steagall's still gone, but there were Glass-Steagall-esque provisions in Dodd-Frank, and now they're saying, well, let's get rid of those. They say provisions that are there to have steps in place to wind down the banks, because remember, they were too big to fail, so they were bailed out. But under Dodd-Frank, they say, okay, look, if something like this happens again, we need to have a plan. We need to know, okay, you can untangle and wind down, you know, big bank X by doing such steps, by following these steps, by going through this procedure. So the banks were mandated to come up with a way to wind down if something like this were to happen again. Trump is coming in and saying, no, don't worry about that. If you're too big to fail, whatever, that's fine. You're too big to fail again, and we're not going to have any protections in place for if something like this were to happen again. And consumer protections from predatory debt collectors. So that's the payday lenders, the predatory payday lenders. This is the Republicans are 100% on the team of the predatory payday lenders, and you have the corporate Democrats are on their side too. Debbie Wasserman Schultz has taken a lot of money from these people and has stonewalled regulations that would crack down on them. So what's Donald Trump doing? Giving them a smooth hand job behind the dumpster. He's saying, well, let's get rid of, you know, the rules against predatory debt collectors and the rules against the payday lenders. And also, let's change the rules on arbitration. So for arbitration, what that is, that's like basically like a court process within a company. So if you do something wrong within the company, they say, oh, don't worry, we're going to handle this, and we'll do it within the company. No need to actually have a court case and file criminal charges. Government, back off, back off, back off. We got this internally. And then they do a little slappy-dappy on the wrist. There's somebody who, you know, through greed and recklessness and fraud, bankrupted their companies. Instead of actually having legal penalties against them, it's just you go through arbitration and we'll say, hey, you need a week time out or something. Tisk, tisk. So this is Donald Trump saying in every imaginable way, let's couch out of the banks. Let's let the big banks do whatever they want to do. Let's let them run roughshod. Let's have no regulation. And understand, man, we were already in a position where we reinflated the housing bubble and there was going to be a crash. With Donald Trump in there, all he did was put us on the fast track to having another collapse. And by the way, I don't even know. The collapse can come in a variety of different ways. So it could be the same route that the housing boom again, because prices are right back to where they were before the Great Recession, and it's fake. It's not real. So people, it's not like people all of a sudden, oh, look at that, the middle class started making way more money. So now, you know, this is the reflection of the real price of the houses. No. So that bubble can burst again, and we'll be right back to square one, and it'll be even worse this time if we were to have another subprime mortgage crisis. It could be in the form of the student debt crisis. We have over $1 trillion in student debt, and student debt is treated in a special way where you can't file bankruptcy on it. So there are people who are senior citizens still paying back student loan debt. It could be from credit card debt. It can be from the derivatives market. There's a million and one ways in which our economy is unstable, and it's a house of cards, and it's going to collapse at some point. So I don't know if it's going to be this avenue or any of 13 other avenues, but it's coming. Anybody can see we're in a bubble. You don't have the stock market get chopped in half in 2008, which is what happened. I mean, what? It probably peaked at the bottom in 09 or so, but you have this utter collapse, and half the wealth was just wiped out. And then all of a sudden, no, look at that, you know, however many years later, here we are in 2017, and all of a sudden everything's hunky-dory and the market's at record highs. It is fake growth. And now you have an administration in place that's not just basically keeping a Band-Aid over the gangrenous wound, a Band-Aid with a little bit of ointment. What they're doing is they're taking a knife that has E. coli all over it and shoving it right back in that wound. Man, I come up with some gross analogies. And this is no laughing matter, so I shouldn't be laughing about this. But you have deregulation nation under Donald Trump. That's what we're looking at right now. And all the talk about drain the swamp, and I'm going to look out for the little guy, and we're going to get tough on Wall Street. Hillary, there's Goldman Sachs. Oh, she's the candidate of Goldman Sachs. Oh, look at that. I appointed Goldman Sachs, Steve Mnuchin, to Treasury Secretary. So it was all talk. He's not a real populist. He's not fighting for the people. As Bernie Sanders said, and we're going to get into that story later, he's a fraud. His actions show that he's a fraud. So if you're still defending this guy like he's some sort of crusader for the working class, you've been had. You've been took. You've been bamboozled. So understand that he's coming for what remains of Dodd-Frank, and that is nothing but a giant heist for his buddies on Wall Street. Because remember, this is a fact that's not brought up enough. So Wall Street, the big banks, they owned Hillary Clinton through campaign contributions and contributions to the Clinton Foundation. How do the big banks and how does Wall Street own Donald Trump? Personal debt, which might even be worse. He has over $1 billion in debt. You think he's not going to listen and make deals with the people who hold that debt to wipe his slate clean? Of course he is. Of course he is. He's going to let them do whatever the fuck they want. So this guy is extra beholden to the establishment. He's not fighting the establishment. He is the establishment. Or at the very least, he's their bitch boy. Okay. Oh, man. We're back. We're back in full effect. Let's keep going. Now we're going to go to Bernie Sanders. I just mentioned this story. Bernie Sanders absolutely decimated Donald Trump on CNN over the weekend. This was fun to watch.
Do you see any upside at all to relaxing any of the Dodd-Frank regulations?
You know, it is hard not to laugh to see President Trump alongside these Wall Street guys. I have to say this, Jake, and I don't need to be disrespectful. This guy is a fraud. This guy ran for president of the United States saying, Donald Trump, I'm going to take on Wall Street. These guys are getting away with murder. Then suddenly he appoints all of these billionaires. His major financial advisor comes from Goldman Sachs, and now he's going to dismantle legislation that protects consumers. This is a guy who ran for president saying, I'm the only Republican. I'm not going to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And then he appoints all of these guys who are precisely going to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So I hope that all of those folks who voted for Mr. Trump, because he thought that he would stand up for working people, man, this guy is, you know, he's a good showman. I will give you that. He's a good TV guy. but I think he's going to sell out the middle class and the working class of this country and that business on Wall Street. He told us, in fact, it's in the Republican platform, he's going to bring back Glass-Steagall. We're going to be dividing up commercial banks from investment banks, from insurance companies. Then he has all of the big Wall Street guys on his side, and now he's working for Wall Street.
You know, I had forgotten about that. I'm happy Bernie brought that up because I'm going to bring that up more often now. But it's true that the Trump team fought to put Glass-Steagall in the Republican platform. In fact, when I did the segment, I remember giving Trump credit for it and giving his team credit for it. And I remember telling people, specifically people on the left, that we can't be hacked about this. So when Trump does something that's positive, when Trump says something that's correct, when he fights for something that we agree with, we can't say, oh, well, now all of a sudden I'm against Glass-Steagall because Donald Trump is for Glass-Steagall. And this is the same thing with TPP. Now, on TPP, thankfully, it's the one promise where I agree with him and you likely agree with him, where we actually can give him credit because he did kill the TPP. But these are issues where you're supposed to go, hey, you know what, man, credit where credit is due. If he wants to come to our side and push for certain things, like also when he says, hey, I'm not going to cut Social Security or Medicare, or I want to do an infrastructure bill, or I want to stop nation building, you have to say, great, so let's fight for that and let's work together. But here's the thing. You can't trust a goddamn word Donald Trump says. You just can't. Because his history shows it that he's very Hillary Clinton-esque in that he's been on virtually every side of every issue. There are very few ones where he's been consistent. So Bernie brought up a couple examples right there. He kept saying, I'm not going to cut Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Guess what? The people who he's appointing to the Social Security Administration, all of them are people who either want to cut it or privatize it. So he's full of shit. He's laying the framework and the groundwork to come out later. Hear me now, quote me later. They're going to come out and say, we're not cutting them, We are reforming the programs, and we're going to make them stronger for the future. This is exactly what they're going to say. And all of that is a guise, it's a ruse to actually cut it or privatize it. That's a guarantee that that's what's going to happen. So that's one example. Another example is, he picked Puzder for the labor secretary. And this is a guy who does not believe in labor. He's on the record as saying, I would like to move towards 100% automation in the economy. Okay, I understand. When you were a business owner, I understand that, you know, you're going to want that because you want to save money and make more profit and you don't care about the workers and that's the way the system is set up. I get it. But now that you're labor secretary, bitch, no, that's not a tenable position. In fact, that's something that would disqualify you from that position. This guy is an Ayn Rand loyalist. I think he wrote a book that was largely based off of, oh my God, Ayn Rand's philosophy is brilliant. It's so smart. It's so great. We need like no regulation and no government. He doesn't even believe in the minimum wage. There were lawsuits against him when he was a fast food CEO because apparently they weren't giving sufficient adequate break time to their workers. So this is a guy, a toxic guy, the last person you would ever want as labor secretary. This is who we have. Rabidly anti-union, you name it. So Donald Trump, again, I'm the working class, the forgotten man will never be forgotten again. Anyway, let's lower wages. Well, again, I guess maybe on this one we got to give him half credit because half the time Trump told the truth about what he really believes. When Trump said in the debate, wages are too high, they're too high. Remember that during the Republican debate? He was asked, there were minimum wage protesters out front and they were asked a question about it. He was like, you know, wages are too high. Too high? So half the time he told the truth. It just so happens that almost all the time it's the negative comments that Trump makes that he actually wants to follow through on. And again, Bernie nailed it by bringing up Steve Mnuchin, Goldman Sachs. Look, you can't say you're fighting for the workers and Hillary Clinton is the candidate of Goldman Sachs and then say, I need a Treasury Secretary. Steve Mnuchin from Goldman Sachs. Please, come do that for me. What kind of a, I mean, that's such a grotesque level of hypocrisy. They need to come up with a new word. Hypocrisy isn't strong enough. So Goldman Sachs for Treasury Secretary. Now, furthermore, it's worse than that, because not only is this guy Goldman Sachs, he's also, he led One West Bank in California. Guess what they did? They would foreclose on senior citizens left and right because they were largely involved in reverse mortgages. So think about that. They even kicked a grandma out of her house over a 27-cent discrepancy in payment. And I'm supposed to say, what the fuck is happening behind me? The screen just all of a sudden popped up with an antivirus thing. Anyway, I got to fix that. Hold on one second, guys. Jesus Christ. See what happens when you're live? Now my mic fell off, too. I'm a mess. Whoa, okay, I got to remember where I was, though. What was I talking about? Oh, fuck me. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Steve Mnuchin. Oh, One West Bank. Hold on. Wait for it. You know what? I really don't. At this point, I'm flat out anti-PC. Not political correctness, although I am also anti-political correctness. But I'm pro-Mac. Okay, I think we're better now. All right, hold on. Here we go. Making our way back to the seat. You know, there's a lively debate going on in the internet community, the YouTuber community, whether or not moments like this are actually a benefit for us or a negative for us. Because there's one thing you can't take away from it. Motherfucker, this is real. This is as real as it gets. Okay, hold on. Almost there. Okay, we're back. All right, so now I got to pick up mid-sentence talking about One West Bank. Okay. Let me try that again. I'll give the abbreviated Cliff Notes version of that story. So Steve Mnuchin, while he was at One West Bank, they foreclosed even on a grandma who had a 27-cent discrepancy in her payment for her mortgage. So you want to be Treasury Secretary, but that's your history? Working for a criminal organization like Goldman Sachs, who would sell these toxic subprime mortgage packages to unsuspecting clients and tell them they're going to make a lot of money, and then turn around and bet on those same packages to fail. So fraud was the business model. You worked at a company where fraud was the business model, and then you were the head of a company that foreclosed on people left and right and profited off of the Great Recession, even kicking senior citizens out of their home, and now we're supposed to put you in charge of the economy and make you Treasury Secretary, because what? Oh, he'll run it so efficiently. He'll run it so great by foreclosing on more senior citizens and by doing more fraud against regular people. Please, man, please, spare me. So I almost said Donald Trump is right. Wrong. Bernie Sanders is right that Donald Trump is a fraud. Okay. All right, next. Oh, do I have time for one more before I take a break? Let's see. Not really. Let me take my quick break now, and then when we come back, the establishment is pretending to be all offended by a comment Bernie Sanders made, and then Justice Democrats. Get ready for a Justice Democrats update. That should be fun. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Yeah.
left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left. The left. It's like I'm on an island by myself. The left. Please don't make me slap you with the left. The left. You will fake, so I'm gon' drop you with the left. The left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left. The left. It's like I'm on an island by myself. The left. God, please protect me if this shit go left. Cause I can cook a kilo by my goddamn self. In the kitchen, water whipping with the left. I don't know women, but I know who got the milk. I feel like I'm a woman being milk. Cause I can cook
a kilo by myself. You
ain't no Gucci.
We got one more here on Bernie Sanders, then we'll get into Justice Democrats. Then we'll get into 312 other things. Because that's what it looks like on a Monday show. Okay, so listen to the new fake scandal involving Bernie Sanders. So the establishment is pretending to be all offended by a banal comment that Bernie Sanders made. He was asked what he thinks of Joe Biden endorsing Tom Perez for DNC chair, and he said that he's against the, quote, failed status quo approach. Now, for those of you who don't understand the breakdown that's going on here, there's a race for DNC head, and President Obama and VP Biden are supporting Tom Perez. So this guy is viewed as the establishment wing of the party's representative. Now, on the flip side, you have Bernie Sanders, who's supporting Keith Ellison. And Keith Ellison is viewed as the representative, or I should say a better representative, of the progressive wing of the party. Now, that's not to say that Keith Ellison is superb. In fact, there are many Bernie supporters who, you know, barely support Ellison. They say, okay, look, he's better than all the alternatives, but let's not pretend he's great, because, for example, Keith Ellison supported intervention in Libya, and he's not the real kind of true progressive that many people in the Bernie wing would want. But again, better than the alternatives by far. So because Bernie dared to call Tom Perez And Joe Biden endorsing him, oh, well, this is part of the failed status quo approach. Now a bunch of Democrats have clutched their pearls, and they're ripping him. So Gilberto Hinojosa, one of the DNC members who actually will be able to vote in this and says he's going to vote for Perez, he said, quote, "It is very concerning that Bernie Sanders is so intent on taking over a party that he's not even a member of, that he'd insult the beloved vice president and really the president about a failed status quo approach. This is coming from a man who is not even a member of our party. We lost an election and all of a sudden we're all part of a failed status quo. When he puts Joe Biden and Tom Perez in this category and paints with a broad brush, he insults all of us. This is an election between loyal, qualified Democrats who love our party and the country. There's no need for him to lower himself to that level." Dude, pump your brakes. Relax. Breathe. So, first of all, let's just get the fact out there that he's not even a member of our party is the dumbest, most hacky attack against Bernie Sanders, and a lot of people make that argument. Well, he's not even a Democrat, so, like, why should he be involved in saying, like, the direction that we should go? Because he actually caucuses with the Democrats, and obviously he believes the Democratic Party is less corrupt and not as bad as the Republican Party. But the Democratic Party is still neoliberal and way too centrist and way too corrupt and way too hawkish. So I don't know, maybe he's trying to reform the party so that they can win and beat the Republicans, which isn't what you guys want. Isn't that what you want? So all this, like, outrage, or he's not even a member of the party. But his ideas, his philosophy represents what the Democratic Party should have been all along. And it represents what would make them win if they actually believed in it and fought for it, but they just can't get rid of neoliberalism. To them, it's like they're heroin addicts, and neoliberalism is the heroin. like, oh, no, we got to move further and closer to Wall Street, and we got to get closer to the Republicans, and then we'll totally win if we're Republican light. How many years have you tried that, and how many years have you gotten your ass handed to you on a silver platter? So you are wrong about what would make the party good. He is right. I was going to say, what would make the party great again? But then they'd smear me as being a closet Trump supporter or some garbage, and they'd go like cackling hyenas into their little dense bubble and go, we've got everything figured out, and we're going to keep running Hillary-like candidates and keep losing while we pretend like we're morally superior and pretend like we have all the answers. So that's the first thing, is that that argument is just a childish hack argument. And then he also goes on to say, well, how dare you put Biden and Perez in the category of failed status quo approach? Let's see here. Perez, wasn't he the labor secretary? Biden was the VP. Obama was the president. And then after them, we got Donald Trump. They, by definition, they failed. It's not an opinion. It's like, okay, so if they were so great and they did such a wonderful job and they pleased so many people across the country, obviously the candidate that Obama campaigned really hard for won, right? Wrong. She didn't. She won the popular vote, but they knew the rules going into it, and they knew it wasn't popular vote. She knew which state she had to hold, and she didn't. She didn't go to Wisconsin. She didn't set foot in Wisconsin. She didn't campaign in the right states. She couldn't get working class support, because guess what? All the people in the depressed factory towns said, I don't believe Hillary when she pretends to be anti-TPP. She supported NAFTA. She supported all these other trade deals. She represents the establishment, and the establishment has been screwing me. So for Bernie to say it's a failed status quo approach, that is factual. If it wasn't failed, well, guess what? They would still be in power because people would have said, oh, they were doing a great job for me. And then furthermore, again, under Obama, half the country makes $30,000 a year or less. That's not success. Now, I get it. It's better than George W. Bush. Under George W. Bush, we were hemorrhaging 800,000 jobs a month by the end of his time in office. Now, under Obama, we've grown by over 12 million private sector jobs since he's been in office. But the facts are the facts, and those jobs are mostly service sector low-paying jobs. There were higher-paying jobs that were replaced with lower-paying jobs. So forgive the American people if they're not falling all over themselves to thank Obama and Biden. Now, that's not to say they didn't do anything good. Of course they did some things that were great, and I've given them credit when they do things that I think are great. But you can't say that they're not a failed status quo approach. They were in power. They were in power for 8 years, and they campaigned for Hillary, and you guys got fucking obliterated. Republicans now hold a majority of state legislatures. They hold a majority of governorships. They hold the House of Representatives. They hold the Senate, and they hold the presidency. So it might hurt your feelings. You might get all in your feels when you hear, oh, it's a failed status quo approach, but it is true. And then the idea, like, oh, Bernie doesn't need to lower himself to that level. Lower himself to what level? The factual level, stating facts, you're the one who's lowering yourself because you lash out against him for stating something obvious. You're saying, oh, yeah, but you're not even part of our party. Sorry, next time he has something true to say, we'll give you a trigger warning. You need a safe space? So another DNC operative weighed in and said, the DNC forums and these campaigns for chair have been all about unity, unity, unity. And Bernie put out a different message. He's opening these old wounds, and it looks to me also like his ego is at play. Okay, all of that is true of you. All that is true of the corporate Democrats. This entire quote, he's opening the old wounds. No, the establishment Democrats are, because you got your ass handed to you, and you still somehow think you're a viable part of the discussion. You're not. You see Mitt Romney scrambling into a leadership position of the Republican Party and tell them what direction they should go? No, because he got destroyed. So why should we allow in Hillary Clinton and the people who just got wiped out, who were the only people in the country who couldn't beat Donald grab him by the pussy Trump, and now we're going to listen to you as if you have a viable opinion? So that's true of you. You're opening old wounds by insisting we should take you seriously when you just got destroyed and your ego is at play. Their ego is at play, the corporate Democrats. You got wiped out, and your egos are so large, and you're so propped up by Wall Street money and corporate money that you're like, okay, you guys will still listen to me, right? No, we're not going to fucking listen to you. It's been proven your approach is wrong. And then finally, when they say unity, 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 no, but see, we're only going to unify with people who have a message that is a real progressive message, a real liberal message, is a message that actually is going to fight for the American people and push for the things that they want, and a message that is totally divorced from any corporate and Wall Street money. That's what they don't get. They're like, no, we want to have such a big tent party that our party includes Republican light. Want them in our party. The Democrats don't want them in the party. The base doesn't want them in the party. Regular people don't want them in the party. You're the only one who wants them in the party. You want a big tent party so big that Goldman Sachs is at the head of it. Well, and then you wonder why you keep losing. That's why you keep losing. So for fuck's sake, man, get your head out of your ass. See, this is the trick. They have terrible ideas, they're corrupt, they get wiped out. And then when you say, in the most logical way possible, hey, you guys are not good at this, it's just been proven that you failed, so you need to step aside. They play the victim. They're like, oh, I'm offended and I'm such a victim for you accurately pointing out that I just got my fucking clock cleaned. So now unity, under the banner of unity, they want to come into the party and continue to steer it in the wrong direction. Again, and notice that when they scream about unity, they're not talking about unity under a banner of true progressive and liberal ideas. Unity under a banner of taking no corporate money. Unity under a banner of single-payer health care and universal college and minimum wage that's a living wage and tied to inflation. Unity under a banner of no more unnecessary wars. We should only use our military for self-defense. They don't want to unify under that banner. They only want to unify under a banner of let's keep doing what we were doing and keep serving our corporate donors and keep pushing the party in a neoliberal direction. Well, you could take that kind of unity and shove it up your ass because we're not interested in that. And as a final point, the answer is JusticeDemocrats.com. Go to JusticeDemocrats.com. This is the movement. This is the movement where we run Democrats. We run you. We're going to run you. And you take no corporate money, no big donor money, and so you represent the people, and then you get in there and you fight for all the right things. You fight for Bernie Sanders' vision of the future in America. So this is the answer, and they need to understand their you know, offended brigade, I'm offended you point out facts, their victimhood narrative of like, oh, come on, why are you unfairly scapegoating me as being wrong about everything when it's been proven I was wrong about everything in the last election? All that's going to go away because we don't take any of that bullshit. You know, we don't play that game. We're just going to get all these losers and these corporatists out of the party, and we are uncompromising in that. Do you understand that? This is a hostile takeover of the party. So all this pearl clutching and, oh, my God, Bernie Sanders said something true. How dare he? This all ends when Justice Democrats take over. Okay, next. Speaking of Justice Democrats, here we go. I got more for you. I want to give everybody an update on the current state of Justice Democrats. For those of you who are still unaware, the idea behind Justice Democrats is to get rid of the corporate Democrats, establishment Democrats. Their day is done. They've already proven they are ineffectual. On top of pushing for largely negative policies, they might be okay on social issues, but on top of pushing for pro-Wall Street, pro-military industrial complex policies, they're also just fundamentally incapable of winning when you have Donald grab-em-by-the-pussy Trump winning in the last election. When you have a majority, a Republican majority in state legislatures for governors, for the House of Representatives, for the Senate, and for, obviously, we have a Republican president, well, that shows that you can't even win, never mind having milquetoast neoliberal backwards policies. So this is the movement to have the Bernie wing take over the Democratic Party. And one of the most important things that we push for is you have to take no corporate money and no big donor money.
So that makes it so that we are beholden to the accountant and the teacher and the union guy and the cashier at the local grocery store, and we push for the policies that they want. Now, that's not the total end-all, be-all solution, though, because that's just to get into power now. But then once we're in power, we fight tooth and nail to get money out of the system. And for the record, we support every avenue to do that. So Represent.us, for example, is fighting to change laws, whether they be at the state level or the local level or at the national level, where we address money in politics. That's great. We support that 100%. The ultimate solution, I think, is a constitutional amendment, because laws can just be amended or ignored or what have you, repealed. But either way, I support any and all options to get money out of politics. That's what Justice Democrats support. So we're your ally. We're on your team. And this is the movement to have the Bernie wing take over the party, get rid of the corporate Democrats, get rid of the establishment Democrats. And now's the time. As I've said before, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? If not now, when? So you got to get involved, man. Now, here are the new numbers. So far, we've raised $405,000. That's solid. You know, this is, what are we on now, 2 weeks since we launched it? About $405,000. This is regular people. Now, again, we do have an institutional disadvantage because we can't just go to a billionaire and say, hey, could you cut us a check for a lot of money? We really appreciate that. Because that is against our principles, and we understand human nature. We understand it's I scratch your back, you scratch mine. So if a billionaire cuts you a check for $1 million, guess what? They own you. This is the problem with the establishment Democrats and the corporate Democrats, is that that's how they act with corporations and billionaires. We don't do that. So we try to build this $27 at a time like Bernie Sanders. So this is a strong start. Let me give you some more, though, here. We have 2,600 nominations. This makes the movement powerful because we're not just talking the talk. We're walking the walk. I was going to come out here after the election and give a blueprint for the Democrats. Hey, this is what you need to do. This is how you have to act. This has got to be your platform in order to actually win again. But that would have been all bark and no bite. Now we have some bite to it. So it was myself, Cenk Uygur, and you had Shoykat Chakrabarty and Zach Exley. They were top Bernie Sanders campaign officials, and they are the ones who are doing all the infrastructure work, dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's behind the scenes. They laid the groundwork. They're vetting the candidates. They're running the candidates, and they're the real heroes of what's going on here. And they have 2,600 people so far to talk to vet, to if they pass the bar, then they train, and then they're going to be the ones running for office. So we're going to have principled progressives run to take over the Democratic Party. It's just a matter of picking the right candidates who can win, because we know we all stand for the right things. You could read our platform, justicedemocrats.com, and you'll see our platform there. We stand for all those things, so it's just a matter of getting the right candidates who know what to say, when to say it, to actually get the message out there, to actually win. Because the establishment Democrats are a house of cards. They're propped up by corporate money. Once you get rid of that corporate money, these guys, what? They're oh so charismatic, all these establishment Democrats. Chuck Schumer, what a charmer he is. That's just not the case. Did you know that over 90% of the time, the political candidate in the House of Representatives who raises the most money wins, because they could just get their name out there more? Okay, you raise the most money, you run more ads, you get your name out there more, people have familiarity with you, they go to the voting booth and they vote for you. So we're trying to run these true principled progressive candidates and have them win and have us take over the Democratic Party. But that's why we need you. That's why we need you to go to justicedemocrats.com and give your $27, because again, we want to represent you. That's the only option. We got no interest in the corporations and the big money donors. So, but we need that. It's counterintuitive because we want to get money out of politics, but you need money in order to try to do that, to run the candidates, to get in there, to then push for it. So, but let me get to the the number I want to focus on today, which is we have 110,000 signups so far. So what that means is there are 110,000 Justice Democrats. Now, these are people who support the movement. These are people who say we are the movement. These aren't the donors. These aren't the people who are going to run for office. Those are the other numbers. I told you how much in donations. I told you how many nominations we have. But we have 110,000 signups. Now, again, I'm not sure there's been any movement in the history of movements that in a matter of about 2 weeks had 110,000 people with it like that. I don't know. That is a number that should blow your fucking socks off. So 110,000. But here's the deal. We need the establishment to hear us. We need them to really get scared. I got a message this morning from somebody working with Justice Democrats. They said apparently Tom Perez, the guy who's running for DNC head in Washington, has heard of Justice Democrats, and he's scared. I like getting messages like that. We discussed it the other week. Howard Dean, who used to be somewhat progressive, but then he sold out and he became a lobbyist, and he's exactly the kind of people that Justice Democrats is targeting. He brought us up on Morning Joe the other week. He said, oh, there's this new, they're now learning, young people are now learning they have to organize and institutions matter, and now they're fighting for it, and it's impressive. So they're on notice. The establishment is on notice. People are going, what's this Justice Democrats? This is a little strange, this is a little weird, and it looks like they're actually starting to get some traction. I want those messages every single day. That's what I want. I want those kinds of messages where you go, oh, shit, Chuck Schumer just heard about it, and Chuck Schumer is scared shitless. And Chuck Schumer knows you're gunning for him. He knows you want to primary him. All these milquetoast, Mark Warner, Joe Manchin, all these Democrats who are a disgrace to the party. They need to know we're coming for them. They're Democrats who voted for every Chuck Schumer. There was a time, I don't know if he maybe voted against one, but he voted for at least four Donald Trump appointments, as there were fluff pieces written about him in the establishment media, calling him the new hero of the left. Hero of the left? My ass cheeks. He just voted for Donald Trump's appointments. What are you talking about? They make it up as they go along, because the Democrats are weak, and they lose. They do nothing but lose. All they do is lose, 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 no matter what. I know what I just did there. So these are the kinds of people that we're gunning for. I'm getting the messages. Hey, this one knows. This one knows. I want to get them every day. So you know what that means, that 110,000 number? What are we doing? What are you waiting for? If you haven't signed up, if you've listened to all these segments that I've done on Justice Democrats and you haven't signed up, signed your name in support of the movement yet, what's the matter with you? What are you doing? That you don't understand how that little act sends a message and sends shockwaves through Washington, D.C., just by you signing your name in support of the movement. Now, we could talk about this all day, but I should be more specific and give you really what you're signing your name in support of. So I already mentioned the most important thing is fighting corruption and getting money out of politics and purging the party of the corporate Democrats, the establishment Democrats, the Democrats who have no problem getting all cozy and snuggling up to Big Pharma, Democrats like Cory Booker who just voted to keep drug prices higher for regular people. So that's one aspect of it, getting the money out of the system, having Democrats who take a pledge to take no corporate money and no billionaire money. But there are other aspects to it. You want to be a Justice Democrat? You have to fight for single-payer health care. The United States is the only modern nation that doesn't have universal health care. Every other modern nation has one version or another of a single-payer health care system. So you know what that means in the U.S.? We have 45,000 people that die every year because they don't have access to basic health care. That number is stunning, and that number is also zero in Norway, it's zero in Denmark, it's zero in Iceland, it's zero in Sweden, it's zero in Canada, it's zero in Australia, it's zero in Britain. 45,000 here in the United States of America. This is a crisis. This is a scandal. And the mainstream media, where are you? They don't talk about this. They're too busy chasing Kanye West down with a camera crew. That's what they're doing. They can't talk about it. It's out of sight, out of mind. Who cares? It's not me that's going. And that's the other thing. The number one cause of bankruptcy in the U.S., medical bills. Medical bankruptcy is the number one cause of bankruptcy. Again, medical bankruptcies, go talk to somebody in Canada. They'll be like, wait, what? Huh? That's not a thing. What do you mean? You're going to go bankrupt because you got sick? What are you, crazy? That's the United States of America. So we are uncompromising in our position of a single-payer healthcare system. We're going to say single-payer. The Republicans are going to say, fuck off. How about we do nothing? Our response isn't like the bitch-ass corporate Democrats, yeah, how about we do your old plan and do Obamacare and do an individual mandate system and keep the private health insurance companies in control and intact? Our answer is, oh, you want to play hardball? Step out the way, bitch. Single payer, that's the end of the conversation. By any means necessary, we're going to get single payer. This is what we stand for, and we fight. We don't back down. Beyond that, we fight for universal education. Again, there are countless other nations, industrial nations, even some nations that wouldn't necessarily be included in, oh, they're, you know, first world nation, industrial, modern, yada, yada. There are nations that put us to shame on the issue of education. We have over $1 trillion in student loan debt. We're handicapping, we're burdening an entire generation of people. How can we do that? I mean, that's insane. That's backwards. Slovenia has a universal education system. All you have to do is pay an entrance fee. Here we got people paying back their student loan debt into their elderly years, into their 70s. What kind of a sick joke is that? We're going to have the nerve to lecture the world and say we're number one. Meanwhile, Slovenia is kicking our ass when it comes to universal education. And if you think it's a crazy idea, well, then you don't understand how elementary school works in the United States. You don't understand how middle school and high school works in the United States now, do you? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about funding college like that. We have to fight to, at the very least, catch up to the rest of the modern world on these fronts. But we go further. Justice Democrats is not just about that. Justice Democrats is about making us number one again. Are we talking about actually making America great again? That's right, and we're going to do it in the relevant categories. So when Donald Trump says it, he's talking about, let's be number one in deregulation. I just gutted the rest of Dodd-Frank. Let's be number one in sellouts. I just appointed Steve Mnuchin to be Treasury Secretary. He's talking about let's be number one in size of our wall on the southern border. That's the goofy shit he's talking about. Let's be number one in military spending. Guess what, Don? We already are number one. He goes, I don't care. I'm going to expand it even further. We have our military spends more than the next 8 biggest nations combined. It's over 50% of our discretionary budget. Donald Trump says not enough. Let's spend more. That's what he means when he says make America great again. What do we mean? What do Justice Democrats mean? Let's be number one in healthcare as opposed to number 37, which is what we are according to the World Health Organization. Let's be number one in education. Let's be number one for workers. Half of the people in the U.S. make $30,000 a year or less. How sad is that? Our minimum wage is $7.25. In Australia, it's over $15 an hour. We're okay with that? We're okay with people working a full-time job and not making enough money to survive? Justice Democrats will fight tooth and nail to make the minimum wage a living wage and tie it to inflation. We're done with that. We're done with the idea of wage slavery. But these are issues, this isn't even discussed. 80% of the American people want to make the minimum wage a living wage, want to raise the minimum wage. 80%, that's even the majority of Republicans. But the parties aren't pushing for it. So guess what? We're going to push for it. The whole point of Justice Democrats is to take no corporate money, no big donor money, and push for the policies that the American people actually want. We actually look at the polling data and go, that's what I'm going to push for. Why? Because we are representatives of the people. We are a medium for the policies that you want. That's the whole point of Justice Democrats. These ideas are overwhelmingly popular. Did you know there was a poll about the war in Afghanistan done about a year ago? Only 17% of the American people still want to be involved in Afghanistan. We got a full-scale war going on. The media doesn't even talk about it. They act like we don't. How you gonna have a full-scale war going on? In fact, we have two, one there, one in Iraq. But we have a full-scale war in Afghanistan. The media, somebody should look into it. Media Matters, somebody, say, tell me how long the CNN went without discussing Afghanistan, even though we're still at war with that country. They probably went 2 months at certain points, just not discussing Afghanistan at all. Only 17% of the American people still want to be there. That means that the war in Afghanistan is more unpopular than Vietnam was at its most unpopular point. Nobody talks about it. Nobody fights to end it. Nobody says, what are we doing? Why do we just blow trillions of dollars for no goddamn reason? Why are we nation building there when we can't even get clean water in Flint, Michigan? We can't get clean water here. Our infrastructure gets a grade of D. And you're telling me we have $7 trillion to waste in Iraq and a few trillion more in Afghanistan? What kind of a sick joke? It's like we're getting played, because we are. The establishment is playing us. So it's time to fight back. This is what Justice Democrat stands for. We get money out of politics. We fight for universal health care. We fight for universal education. We want to be number one in universal health care and education. We want to make that minimum wage a living wage. We want to end the wars. These are just a few of the things that we fight for. Go to justicedemocrats.com, read the platform, and you have to support the movement. Even if you're somebody who says, I disagree with the tactics of trying to take over the party, I'd rather try to build a third party. Look, according to our research, it's harder to build a third party. There are more institutional disadvantages that are unnecessary hurdles. But even having said that, if you want to go that route, by all means, be my guest. We're behind you because we agree on the policy. But at the very least, lend your name in support of Justice Democrats. Go to justicedemocrats.com, sign your name up in support. I want this 110,000 number to be a million. I want it to be a million, and I want it to be a million soon. And I stop at nothing to get to that point, because the more numbers we get, the more the establishment takes notice, the more the establishment takes notice, the more they're going to bend to our will and our messaging, and the more likely it is we get more press coverage, we run more candidates, and we're more likely to win. So become part of this movement. Become part of this wave. Sign your name in support at justicedemocrats.com. Let's do this thing. Nobody's coming to save us. We have to save ourselves, and that's exactly what this is about. Okay. All right, next, let's go to Mike Pompeo. So 14 Democrats voted in favor of Mike Pompeo becoming the CIA head. Now, understand why this is abysmal and this is disgusting, and this shows you everything that's wrong with the Democratic Party. Mike Pompeo defended torture. He called the people who did torture under Bush patriots. He famously said Edward Snowden should be killed. Yeah, I can't see a problem there with the head of the CIA saying Edward Snowden should be killed. It's not like the CIA has a history of assassinations and whatnot. They do. And now the head of the CIA openly said, I want to see Edward Snowden killed. So, again, 14 Democrats buckled, voted for this cretin, this savage, this barbarian, and now that the damage is done, listen to this amazing trick that these Democrats did. Now that the damage is done, Mark Warner, who's one of the Democrats who voted for Pompeo, Dianne Feinstein, and a bunch of other ones here, remember, 14 of them, but a bunch of those Democrats, wrote Pompeo a strongly worded letter, waving their fingers, saying, tiff, tiff, Mr. Pompeo, you better not torture. So they vote to approve him. After he's approved, they go, all right, we're going to get tough now. You better not torture, sir. And then they send him the letter. You know how you really express that sentiment that you're against torture? You vote no. You don't vote yes and then say, you better not. We're giving you a chance here. By the way, even that concept, yeah, he supports torture, but give him a chance. No, I lump that in the box of you're done. That one's strike one, you're out. There's no two or three, you're just out. Support torture and then be the head of the CIA. Are you fucking kidding me? But these Democrats, these weak, spineless, bitch-ass Democrats, this is the problem with the Democratic Party. And they go, you know, why do we lose? What do you understand? Because you're just Republican light. And when given the choice between a Republican and Republican light, the American people go, let's go with the Republican. Why not rep your own brand? Why not rep your own philosophy, your own ideology, your own set of principles and ideals? Because you don't really care. It's more about pleasing your donors and going along to get along. Did you know, I can't tell you how sad this next fact made me. Elizabeth Warren, who is one of the best Democrats, and I'm not just saying that. Her record shows it. She pushed for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was great for regular people, and it really cracked down on Wall Street and the big banks. So she did a lot of great things. But Elizabeth Warren voted in favor of Ben Carson to lead the housing and urban development. She voted yes. And then everybody ripped her on her Facebook page, like, what are you doing? And she responded and basically said, he answered my questions nicely. I sent him some letters and he responded, which is nice of him. And maybe the next one will be even worse. So we'll go with this guy. No. You don't. Ben Carson is a loathsome human being who doesn't know anything, and he's not qualified by any stretch of the imagination for this position. And he has disqualifying beliefs. He said that, first of all, he's a privatizer through and through. He doesn't even believe in the government having a role in this area. But he said that Obamacare is like slavery, like 9/11. You vote for him for nothing. He shouldn't be a goddamn manager at an Arby's. But you're going to vote for him. Are you kidding me? So this is the resistance. You know what you do if President Trump appoints somebody who's unacceptable? You vote no. Then you know what you do if he appoints somebody else for the same position that you can't support? You vote no again. You vote no over and over and over and over until he puts somebody up there who makes sense. I'm not unreasonable. Am I willing to compromise? Sure. But Ben Carson for housing and urban development is not a compromise. The guy being the head of the CIA supporting torture and supporting the execution of an American hero like Edward Snowden, non-negotiable. Pick somebody else. Not for a split second would I consider that. I would rally every Democrat to vote no. How sick is this Democratic Party that they can't even oppose a CIA head who's in favor of assassinations around the world? This is why we need Justice Democrats. You think I want to come out here in every segment, in every video, make this point that Justice Democrats are the answer? I have no choice. The Democrats leave me no choice. Because they're that weak, and they're that ineffectual, and they blame you, they look at you like you're the idiot. Like, what do you mean? Oh, so you wanted us to block the guy who wants to kill Edward Snowden? So what? Oh, you wanted us to vote against Ben Carson? How sick are you? How gross are you? JusticeDemocrats.com. Let's primary these motherfuckers. Let's primary them. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of a Democratic Party that doesn't know how to fight on the right issues. Look, I'm not against compromise. Like I said, you want to compromise? Let's compromise to not do TPP, like President Trump did. He killed TPP. Great. I got nothing but credit for him on that. You want to compromise? Let's compromise and do a giant infrastructure bill. I'll compromise on that. You want to compromise? Let's compromise about not doing as much nation building. I'll compromise on that. These are all things that Trump said he supports on the campaign trail. So let's compromise on those things. Am I going to compromise to have a pro-torture CIA head who wants to kill Edward Snowden? Am I going to compromise to have Ben Carson for housing and urban development? The answer to that is hell no. And if you disagree, you're going to get primaried. JusticeDemocrats.com. Okay, next. Next. I got a video on this one for you.
President Trump did the traditional pre-Super Bowl interview. It was with Bill O'Reilly this year. He seems to get it fairly often. And this moment caused some controversy. Let's take a look.
I respect Putin. I do respect him.
Do you? Why?
Well, I respect a lot of people, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get along with him. He's a leader of his country. I say it's better to get along with Russia than not. And if Russia helps us in the fight against ISIS, which is a major fight, and Islamic terrorism all over the world,
right?
Major fight, that's a good thing. Will I get along with him? I have no idea. It's
very possible. He's a killer, though.
Putin's a killer. A lot of killers. We've got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent?
So the partisan establishment Democratic hack response to this has been to clutch their pearls and say, oh, did he just say that we have killers here? Oh, how dare you make a moral equivalence between the beacon of hope and freedom, the United States, and evil Vladimir Putin. Okay, remember, I just told you, this has been the Democratic response to this. Imagine that portion right, that last part right there, that little snippet where he said, okay, he's a killer. Yeah. What, you think we're so innocent? Imagine if it was Bernie Sanders who said that, or Hillary Clinton who said that, or Obama who said that, because remember, Obama, for most of his time in office, he spent more getting along with Russia and being on the proper footing with Russia and attempting to de-escalate further with Russia and have a partnership with Russia. And remember, he said to Mitt Romney in the 2012 debates, when Mitt Romney said, we're in a new Cold War, Obama said, the 1980s called. They want their foreign policy back. And everybody on the left, all the Democrats said, oh, Obama's so right. Look at old Romney. Oh, Cold War. Really want to escalate with Russia, you little prick bitch? You little hawkish motherfucker? You want to escalate to World War III, you idiot? Now, with Trump in office, total flipperooski. Total flip. So now you have all the hack Democrats. How dare he say the U.S. hasn't done some, isn't so innocent? Let's see. What is it? Well, I don't know. Remember when we napalmed and used Agent Orange on innocent women and children on purpose in Vietnam? Remember that in the Pentagon Papers? Remember when we killed over 1 million people, mostly civilians in Vietnam? Then you say, Kyle, that's so far back. Why would you fucking go that far back? That's silly. Let's look at modern history. Remember when we did an offensive war against a country that didn't attack us, and then even when we learned it was a country that didn't attack us, we continued to occupy that country, and we killed minimum hundreds of thousands of civilians? That would be the war in Iraq. Oh, by the way, where are we? That's right, we're still in Iraq. That's cute. So we did that, and we're still there. Oh, shit, this is the wrong country. You didn't attack us. Anyway, let's just stay here. What the fuck is that about? What is that? Oh, it's the wrong country. We learned it was the wrong country. Why wasn't it all everybody on day one like, oh, shit, our bad. We're going to pull out, and we're going to pay you back for everything we destroyed here. Nope. Stay there. Why not? I love it. Like, get your head out of your ass for, like, 8 seconds and just think for a second. What if it was some other country that did that and not our country? Everybody can rationalize and do justification for their own country. Try to be objective for a second and look at that. Invaded a country that didn't attack us, occupied it, killed hundreds of thousands of civilians, and then when we learned, like, oh, by the way, wrong country. They're like, that's nice. We're going to stay here anyway. Afghanistan. We've been in Afghanistan since 2001. It's just a money pit. By the time it's all said and done in Iraq, we will spend $7 trillion by 2053 when you add in the interest. $7 trillion. $2 trillion, or even more than that probably now, in Afghanistan. What are we doing? We're just wasting money, occupying countries. We're doing 7 different interventions right now. Obama's drone war, under Obama, liberal Obama, 90% of the time the drones got the wrong target. 90% of the time. Never mind, I haven't even mentioned torture. I haven't even mentioned what was in the report. Remember that? They did anal rape, anal feeding, as they call it. You shove a tube up somebody's ass and pump food up there when doctors are like, hey, don't do that. They're like, yeah, it's a fuck off. We're going to do it because we're torture. That's what we're doing. They did sleep deprivation.
They did something called hypothermia torture, which is exactly what it sounds like. They throw cold water on somebody and leave them in a cell and come back in the morning. Guess what? Somebody died when we did that. Guess what? That person was innocent, too. Guess what? They admit at least 20% of the people they tortured were totally innocent. And that's what they admit. We don't even know what the real number is. Because we know that a lot of the people at Guantanamo were... We got them by making deals with warlords in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Turns out warlords aren't that trustworthy, and they don't send us people who are actually in Al-Qaeda. They just send us their enemies. So the endless list of illegal invasions and occupations and war crimes and civilian deaths on our hand and torture. And Donald Trump says, Yeah, he's a killer. Our country is not so innocent. And now liberals, how dare you? We've never done anything wrong here in America. Fuck off. Fuck off. And now when they get called out on that by people who are right, what's the pivot they do? Those are all good points. The U.S. doesn't kill journalists. So that's the only moral barometer you have? That's it? So kill journalists, evil, vicious dictator, horrific war criminal. Do torture as a matter of policy. Do illegal invasions and occupations. Kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of innocent people in the process. Freedom and democracy, human rights-loving, altruistic state. Go fuck yourself. You guys sound idiotic. Putin is a horrific guy. He's a terrible guy. Yes, he does assassinate journalists. He does do horrible things. He did go in and jack Crimea. I have no love for Vladimir Putin. I also have no love for our fucking war crimes and our grotesque actions. And if you attack Trump for this, of all the comments he makes, this is the one you attack him on? You're the problem. Trump is continuing a lot of these horrific actions. So you should even agree with him on the grounds that he's doing these things. He just killed an 8-year-old girl in a raid gone wrong. Why is the liberal response and the Democratic response not, you know what, Trump is right, we're not innocent, and he's one of the main reasons why not. He's killing innocent people. He's banning Muslims. He's doing all these horrible things. But no, the Democrats had to, of course, use the wrong strategy because they're Democrats, and of course say things that are not true because they're Democrats, and clutch their pearls and say, America is so wonderful in every way, so stop. Leave America alone. We just want to do illegal wars and torture people and then occupy those countries, and then that's it. What do you mean? Why is that a problem? That's not a problem. The worst part of that, in my mind, obviously was not the last statement, as you could tell. It was the respect part. That's the part. It's like, why would you respect him? There's no reason to respect Vladimir Putin. You know how I would answer that question? I would have said, when Bill O'Reilly asked, do you respect Putin? I would have said, I don't know what that means, Bill. I neither respect him nor disrespect him. He's doing whatever he's doing in Russia. I'm doing whatever I'm doing over here. And you know why you do that? Because that's a diplomatic answer. A diplomatic answer is, I'm not going to respect him because he is a killer, but I'm also not going to disrespect him because I'm not trying to escalate to World War III. So you just say, whatever, I don't anything him. How about that? That's a diplomatic answer. But Trump, of course, gave the respect. And that was the worst part of it to me. But all the liberals who are now clutching their pearls, like, oh, how dare you besmirch the legacy of America? We never did slavery or dropped nuclear weapons on civilians or napalmed innocent women and children or invaded countries illegally and then occupied them and killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of civilians. We never did any of that. Oh, that's right. We did all of that. Why am I taking this line of argument? That's right. Why are you? Okay, next. How much have I done so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, we gotta do more. I'm taking forever these days. Mitt Romney heavily criticized Donald Trump during the presidential campaign. He, of course, called him a bad businessman, but he went further. He said he's a phony, he's a fraud. And now he has some new thoughts for us. So here's what he said. I expressed honestly what my belief was with regards to temperament and character. Now the time has come for us to recognize we have a new president and we have hopes he will be successful leading our country. We're all watching with interest. He's obviously gotten off to a very strong start in terms of making a series of executive orders and making the changes that he promised during the campaign. Okay, so this is exactly as predicted, not just by me, but by everybody, but by anybody who follows politics closely and has two functioning brain cells. This is the establishment Democrats. Now, establishment Democrats, wrong, they're bad enough. But this is the establishment Republicans genuflecting at the altar of power and saying, oh, hail, holy Trump. Now that you're in power, and now that you're actually appointing people who are representatives of the establishment, well, now we love you. So they were pretending, and I warned you at the time, they were pretending to be oh so outraged by other things Trump said. Did he just call Mexicans rapists? Did he just say he wants to deport all undocumented immigrants? Did he just say that he wants to bring back torture? No, we're against this. We're against the Muslim ban. It's so bad. It's so bad. No, but those things, like, first of all, many in the Republican base agree with those things. But second of all, many Republican politicians agree with those things. These are people who supported torture. These are people who support every draconian measure when it comes to immigration. So to have guys like Mitt Romney come out of the woodworks like, you know, this is anathema to America. How dare Trump push these ideas? I told you then, this has got nothing to do with that. They're using that as a reason to oppose Trump, but in reality, why did they really oppose him? Because they feared that his populist rhetoric might be what he would actually do. So when he said, I'm going to protect Social Security and Medicare, I'm not going to cut it, I'm not going to privatize it, they were like, oh, fuck, that's why they dislike him, because he said shit like that. When he said, we're not going to nation build anymore, we're going to rebuild here at home, we're going to do infrastructure spending, they were like, fuck, that's why we're against him. So in every area where he was seemingly populist, they were like, oh, let's oppose him because of that, but let's pretend like it's because of the Muslim ban and all the other shit. Well, now Donald Trump's going in there, and he's doing all the draconian backward social issue shit, but he's been totally sellout and pro-establishment, with the exception of one thing. TPP is the only thing where he held true to his populist message. But everything else, you know, Poosder for labor secretary, lower wages, is, you know, this is what he said, wages are too high in the debate. Well, Poosder is a guy for a labor secretary who definitely would lower wages. He's an Ayn Rand devotee. Steve Mnuchin, treasury secretary. Goldman Sachs is what we're talking about here. The head of, treasury. Why? How? Because you're a sellout. That's what you are. You're letting people, all Wall Street, all big banks, all the deregulatory people, with Dodd-Frank, he just gutted Dodd-Frank in a new executive order. So this is what Romney looks at, and he's like, yes! So I told you from the beginning, as bad as Trump is, the establishment Democrats were even worse, because the establishment Democrats didn't even give you the populist angle every now and then. The establishment Democrats, fuck all the populism, let's be as pro-corporate and pro-billionaire as possible, while also being backwards on social issues. So, and this proves it right here. As soon as Donald Trump goes and starts doing all the fucked up shit, that's when Mitt Romney says, hey, you know, not bad. And he's saying not bad because Goldman Sachs is in the administration, because it represents the establishment, even the foreign policy establishment, because now Trump has hawks in the State Department. Pruitt for the EPA, who wants to basically get rid of the EPA. This is why Mitt Romney loves him. So we told you, for all the Democrats who wanted to make alliances with these establishment Republicans because they were tepidly anti-Trump back then, we warned you, you don't get into bed with that snake. That snake is a snake, and that snake is going to bite you. Okay, next. This might be the last one of the day. Day. Oh, let me. I want to save this one. I don't want to do this one right now. Let me go to. Okay, my bad. Here we go. Let's go to Sheriff Clark. I've been trying to get this one in for a while. There's a super PAC that's trying to draft Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark to run for Senate, and they decided to climb in the gutter and use the worst attacks imaginable against Tammy Baldwin, who, of course, is a sitting Wisconsin senator. So here's what they say. Sheriff Clark, U.S. Senate, the black Rush Limbaugh with a badge. That's what they're advertising him as. They say, yes, Sheriff David Clark is exactly what true conservatives have been waiting for, a man unashamed of his traditional conservative values and unafraid to say so. Our razor-thin majority in the U.S. Senate is an unreliable, rhino-laden 52 votes. A GOP-controlled Trump state like Wisconsin should not be represented by a liberal, lesbian extremist like Tammy Baldwin. Helpless traitor for a no-nonsense black conservative who punches the left in the mouth every day of his life. Where do I begin with this one? Okay. I got to get the Rush Limbaugh thing out of the way. The black Rush Limbaugh with a badge. Oh, God damn it, man. Look, back in the day I did like a list of the dumbest conservative talk show hosts. Rush Limbaugh was pretty high up on the list. He wasn't number one. Michael Savage was number one. I don't remember where Limbaugh fell on the list. But Rush Limbaugh is like really, really stupid. And I mean that in a very literal sense. Like, I think he has a low IQ. I think he's not smart at all. And there are times I've listened to his show for over an hour, and I heard not one fact. All he does is malign the left, malign liberals, malign Democrats, but it's always using shitty, hacky arguments that make no sense. Remember when Bush was in power, he was the biggest, most staunch Bush defender that there was. He defended torture. He defended the war in Iraq. You know, he would pretend to be in favor of small government, but then when Bush would explode the deficit and the debt, he would act like, oh, the liberals are... The liberals who are exploding the deficit. He just makes shit up. He just makes shit up. He makes it up nonstop. To have anybody who would listen to Rush Limbaugh and think he's making sense, that's sad. And now they're advertising Sheriff David Clark. They want him to run. The black Rush Limbaugh with a badge. How sad are you? This is a bunch of old white dudes in a nursing home who missed the good old days. And they want Sheriff David Clark. Now, furthermore, David Clark is a fucking criminal. This is a guy who repeatedly said, law and order, I'm Trump is the law and order candidate, I'm the law and order candidate. And then in the next week, he would tweet, take out your what was it, pitchforks and torches and pitchforks or something, like saying, you know, we need to get in the street and with pitchforks and torches and get out there and take over. So wait, but if fucking Black Lives Matter, or if anybody else said, let's go pitchforks and torches, you'd be, oh, criminals, we're law and order, you're against law and order. So you're just a fucking hypocrite. Now, not only that, multiple people have died in the jail that Sheriff David Clark runs. Think about that. One of them died from thirst. This was in 2016, I believe. So in 2016 in the United States of America, somebody was dying from thirst from being locked up in a jail. And they want this guy to run for office. This guy should run for the back of a prison cell. That's where he should run. Fuck out of here. People dying in your jail on a regular basis. And you want to pretend like you got the moral high ground and you're a good person and you're fighting for the right values. But the best part, they really said, a state like Wisconsin should not be represented by a liberal, lesbian extremist like Tammy Baldwin. A lesbian extremist? What does that even mean? Like, when she scissors really hard. It's extreme scissoring. Uh-huh. She really, really likes women. She doesn't just like women. She likes women a lot. You know what I'm saying? Lesbian extremist? No, these guys are just stuck in a different era, dude. Make it a liberal lesbian extremist, like that's a thing. What does that mean? I don't get it. You know, in their circles, that's an insult. It's like, oh, yeah, lesbian extremists.
Gotta keep the damn lesbian extremists out here.
And what are they? What's the implication? Like, what are these idiots thinking? Like,
what she gonna do? She gonna ban straight marriage and only have gay marriage, and she's gonna make Ted and Fred get married. They don't want to get married. I don't like no damn man. I don't want to marry a man. Come on, man.
The fuck is wrong with you people? We live in a country where half of the country makes $30,000 a year or less. Our infrastructure gets a grade of D. We got 7 interventions going on right now. We got 45,000 people dying because they don't have access to basic health care. We got over 400,000 homeless people. We have all these problems. And these clowns who think they're serious people on the right,
let's run the Black Rush Limbaugh, and we got to take out the liberal lesbian extremists.
The only extremist here is you. All right, I'm out of time, guys. I love you. I love you. We'll see you back here tomorrow. You know the drill. You know the deal. Same time, same place.
Peace, y'all.